The message you're about to listen to has been offered to cause a revival in your life. Now receive the ministry of FEM Foundation.
Inner healing, being in family, the container to a warehouse revival, or what God is doing in your life, or what God is doing as a corporate entity, is the container of family. Every other container we explode cannot warehouse it. The original intention is that we live in unity with Him and together and begin to achieve the purpose of God for our lives. Every other thing will not work because we live in an orphan planet, and orphans are always looking for what the other person has to deliver for them. So the orphans move in selfishness. And I believe God is calling us to a higher responsibility where we'll begin to actually move in the reality of what God wants us to do corporately. And many false occults and every other group have used this container of family, and they achieve great breakthroughs, and we believe that they are more powerful because they have some strange powers. No. The real power they are using is the power of unity. Jesus prayed the prayer. He said that they will be one, even as you and I are one. We need to get to that place that unity can only be possible where there is diversity. The beauty of unity is diversity. And just as all of us are here, you may have some issues in your life where you say, I just want to do my own. I come to church and everybody's serving God. Let's just serve God and go home. Well, that is not kingdom. That is something that you have to deal with. Are there issues with people's life? Yes. Some people say, other people are difficult to move with, to roll with. But you must understand that you may even be the difficult person to be able to relate with. And most times I try to ask myself, am I a difficult person for my wife to interact with? Am I a difficult person for my children? And that's that community I try to culture all the things that God is teaching me. Because if I can culturize it there in that little community, I can bring it to the larger one and begin to interact with people. And there are people who are introverts. God is not saying that you should be an extrovert to actually interact with people because you have different personality. But you see, your life should be a life that draws people to the King. And that's how you should be. Whether you are eating, whether you are sleeping, whether you are at work, whether you are doing your calling, because every one of us here has a calling. Whether you are called, you know, we actually believe it's only pastors that are called. No. Just as I'm called into the fivefold ministry, there are many of you called into the marketplace. It's a genuine call. Is a genuine call. And that's what transformed the other part of the West that they took even to America, speaking about the Protestant Reformation and the spirit of capitalism. Why? Because they understood that everybody has a call. If we say that everybody has a call, then that means that every one of us will behave like Jesus in the marketplace. As we begin to look at maybe running off, but not running off per se, maybe we want to delve into other topics, but let's look at what we have to do today. And I feel that this is just one of the things I just want to share, because in trying to observe and seeing what people are going through, I have seen that most times, when through our pain and all the things that happen in the world, we rewrite the Bible. We rewrite the Bible. We allow our pain to dictate for us the actions and the path we want to take. In Genesis chapter 24, verse 12, and he said, O God, speaking about Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. This is the first time that success was mentioned in the Bible. And it was Eliezer praying to God to give him success as he goes to look for a bride for the master's son. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God was talking to Joshua. He said, and don't for a minute let this book of the revelation be out of mind. Ponder and meditate on it day and night, making sure you practice everything written in it. Then you will get where you are going, then you will succeed. Then you will succeed. Speaking about success, we are going to the promised land now. Now he's saying, as you get to the promised land, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take this word of revelation, speaking about the five books, the Torah, or the word of God. And this is what I want you to meditate on. Then you will now observe to do everything written in it. That is only what where you will get to where you are going, and you will have success. The New King James says you have good success. That means that there's success that is bad. You will succeed. As we begin to raise the next generation, because if you understand what God has put inside of you and know the script you are supposed to write. My wife was praying this morning, and it was a wonderful prayer this morning. I'm saying, if the book that was supposed to be opened this month, my own page is chapter 5, let me not add chapter 6. That's how I see it. Let my life be in sync with it. Because you know why? We came to act out a script. So if my own job is to take this speaker in my whole lifetime, is to take this speaker to this part, so that the next generation can take it to the next part, then we are settled. I must diligently do my part to take it there. And then we now begin to set our generation the next generation for success. We need to now begin to lay down the right foundation. What is success? Success has been redefined. Our children no longer know what is successful. The Bible says that we should clothe Aaron, speaking about giving them instruction. He said, clothe Aaron in beauty and in glory. That is the foundation for fashion industry. But listen to me, people are now being reconditioned. Their body makeup, everybody wants to be slim. Everybody wants to have this shape. Everybody wants to, there's this tendency, there's a model for beauty. So a short one wants to grow. So they have different type of makeover. They add here and there. Because you see, the beauty industry actually goes to cover shame, the perverted one. We should look at somebody who is big and clothe the person in beauty. We should look at the person that is slim, that is on the small side, and clothe the person in beauty. Not trying to reduce everybody to one size. Which makes the present day models to be filled of one, they are filled with a lot of eating disorders, and they are highly depressed because they were made for the clothes, not the clothes made for them. And so today I want to talk about redefining success to our children. The world has a definition of what success is. And we need to start redefining it. Even for our lives, many of us do not even know what success is according to God's way. We have packaged success the way it's supposed to be. Listen to me, somebody must be a driver. Somebody must be a nursery school teacher. Somebody must be a cook. Somebody must be into maid services, aka house girl. Because it's you that call it house girl. It's maid services. Somebody must be there. Somebody must be a dancer. Somebody must be walking on the roads. All of these are genuine call. You must understand that what we define as success will determine how we are doing. What we define as success, we determine how we are doing. If you define success as too much money in the bank, you will now, even if you have money, you will define yourself as not being successful. And so it's that there. That's why Jesus said a man's life does not consist of the abundance of the things he has. John Wooden defines success as this. Success is peace of mind, which is a direct result of self-satisfaction in knowing that you did your best to become the best you are capable of becoming. The peace of mind. There's what is called true riches. True riches, you cannot deposit it in a bank account. Peace of mind. Joy. The rest that you have. These are true riches. And we don't longer talk about true riches. We talk about the riches that we have. The cash, the investment. They are not bad in itself. But it's the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich. And he has no sorrow with it. Speaking about increase on the outside and increase on the inside. Winning is more than scoring. I know that those that love football will say whether you play well, whether it's still, how many goals. But you see, winning is more than scoring. There used to be, there's a team that had a coach, and the coach was not doing well but was making money. It's winning. He's winning. Winning is more than scoring. Same thing. It may shock you that many of us, we even quarrel with our school, the school of our children, because they didn't give our children prize. Because my child must win a prize. And so there's this unhealthy competition that comes along. Somebody must carry second. Whether you like it or not, it's only one person that will be president of the. Even if they tell us one turn by turn, before I get to your turn, you may have died. So, let's begin to look at key elements, kingdom elements of success. I've put about 10. Because we have redefined everything. We have redefined. Sometimes I see people, the way they redefine it, I wonder. The part of the just is like a shining light that shines brighter and brighter. Where you are today was as a result of how your father set you up. How are you going to set up your next generation? How will you build into the essence that it will be the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? So that you will say, the patriarch, my father lived like this. My father set the stage. I went to a church one time, and we saw some old women. They said, this thing that is happening in this church, we prayed for it 50 years ago. Can I ask a question? How many of us have a 50-year, 100-year vision? Most times we live for the now, because why? There's a peculiar problem with Africa. And that's why I was telling some people in North America, I tell them, all these things cannot work on where we are. We are actually dealing with identity crisis. You have identity crisis, no doubt, but our own is lack has redefined it, SAP has redefined it, different things have redefined it. Polygamy, face me, I face trouble, and everything have redefined it. So we don't really know. So we need to start dealing with some things. You must understand that you are successful when you love well. When you love well. Some people will tell you, when we were growing up, my parents really did not have like that. But there was peace in the home. My father modeled how a good father should be. You know, that one cannot be deposited as cash. But little do you know that he gave you stability in life. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 to 3, it says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but love not, I gain nothing. In verse 7, it said, it, love, always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always persevere. Love. I'm not sure anybody will tell you are successful when you love well. I tell you, if you love people well and they are treating you bad, people will say you are mumu. In Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Speaking about the love of God. And he said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. He said, this is the greatest commandment on the face of the earth. And the question you should ask, there's a song I used to sing by Brian and Jen. Help me. to love the way you love. If you always, if you fight with love all the time, you always win. You may not win at the beginning, but you always win. One, you win your health. You win the person at the end of the day. Love. Love. We can't imagine a country losing a match and the citizens waiting behind to clean up the stadium. So winning is more than scoring. You're successful when you partner with truth. There are many of us today, because of the way you stand with the truth, the fruit is not evident yet. And so people call you a fool. But you are partnering with truth. You are not selling your body because you want money. You are not trying to win somebody. You are keeping yourself. And people are saying, as if you gave it to people, you have been married by now. But you are partnering with truth. In John 8, 31 to 32, the Bible says, so Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word and hold fast to my teachings and live in accordance with them, you are truly my disciples. The world will not call you a disciple if you hold to the teachings of Jesus. He said, and you will know the truth, and the truth you know will set you free. Knowing there is not head knowledge, it's an experience. And you shall experience the truth. And the truth you experience is the one that will set you free. It's truth that sets free, but lies binds. And many a times we believe lies. And lies. There's a theory by Lamech in evolution theory that said, what you don't use, you lose. And most of us actually believe it as believers, but it's evolution theory. That what you don't use, you lose. No. In this kingdom, what you don't use, you don't become proficient at. You will never lose. For the gifts and callings of God is without repentance, are irrevocable. If you're called, listen, if you tell me that I'll be doing this thing today, I will tell you, as at 1998, 99, 2000, I will tell you, you are a liar. So if you think I set out to do this, no. Not from one day. Even when I met my wife, I told her what I wanted to be. But you see, in partnering with the truth, if you are going left, you will find, and you are supposed to be going right, you find yourself there. And we need to start, so you know, sometimes we push shame on people who partner with the truth. We push shame on them. And say, see, we never still marry. And this is the person that is holding on. Oh, see, look at, he doesn't have a job yet. He's holding on. He's doing everything he needs to do. Oh, he doesn't have money. Hide your face. It's a theory. You are successful when you give what you have. What we believe here is that we believe in equal sacrifice, not equal gift. The person that gave 1 million may not have given anything. And the person that gave 100 naira may have given all. And so there's no shame, no judgment. You hear us to tell you, no shame, no judgment. If you don't have it, sit down. No shame, no judgment. So that you are not moving into striving and competition. And trying to go into debt because you want to give to God. God will never ask you to give to him what he has not given to you. Whenever. In Mark chapter 12, verse 42 to 44, in God's word translation, a poor widow dropped in 2 small coins, worth less than a cent. And he called his disciples, said to them, I guarantee this truth. This poor widow has given more than all the others. All of them have given what they could spare. But she, in her poverty, has given everything she had to live on. She, in her poverty, has given everything she had to live on. A man was calling for a building project one time in the West, in Europe. And he, as he called for money, a young child gave him a coin. And he lifted up the coin and gave thanks and said, the building is done. Why? Because it's not the amount. It's whether God is on the amount. So you must understand that you are successful when you give your little time that you have to give to people. And you actually, it's not about the spare time. You sacrifice to give the time. You sacrifice your talent. And you are saying, I want to build people up. I want to give them this thing. The world will not call that successful. But you are successful. Number four, you are successful when you do what you do with all your heart. With all your heart. With all your heart. Are you loving your wife with all your heart? Are you submitting to your husband with all your heart? The job that you have, you have been praying to God, Lord, I want to work in an oil industry. I want to work in an oil industry. And all of a sudden, a job in a hotel that opens you to a reception comes and you say, we are just managing, we are patching here. And you do it with sloppy, unknown to you. God put you there because one day the MD that you have been wanting to see will be the one you will serve. And the way you will serve the person will, I can't forget one day, a driver did so well in when we were walking. My MD looked at the driver and said, which certificate do you have? I assure you, if the guy had a diploma, he would have entered. And then we didn't have a criteria for employing even a polytechnic graduate. You do it with all your heart. You are diligent. Say, see, that a man diligent in his work. He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before me, men. I see people do things sloppy. You don't have a job, you are sitting at home. Find something to do. He said, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your mind. Whatsoever your hand find to do, you need to do it. We need to start defining this thing for our children and telling them, whatsoever you do, do it with all your mind. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 and 11, it says, God has given each of us a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all your strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Do it with all your heart. Everything. Are you ushering? Are you the one packing the cars? People do not know that in some countries they have packing companies. One day somebody told me, he stays in Boston, he said, when I found out my boss, the person that owns this company, he was standing with me in the cold packing cars. He said, that day, we are not talking about parking cars and they are paying you $10,000. No. We are talking about the company that has contracts in multiples of millions of dollars. Do it with all your heart. Are you singing here? If fella who is singing can stay in the keyboard for 18 hours. No, it's not me. It's KG Hamilton that told us. It was his keyboardist. Said that man rehearses for 18 hours. You know, sometimes people will ask you, say, this singing you are singing. Are you a Kaba man? You see, they have a way. We have a way of teasing people out of their destiny. And if you are not stuck in your identity, your hands become weak. So now, oh, Taylor, Obioma. You know, there's just this. Meanwhile, you're not naked. Somebody made your clothes. And at the end of the day, whatsoever the person, you now begin to, your hand begins to get weak. You want to do what others are doing. Meanwhile, that's not your calling in life. Do it with all your heart. You are successful when you steward where your eyes, mind, and heart. Number five, you're successful when you steward well your eyes, mind, and heart. Listen, let me tell you, the problem in Nigeria is overwhelming. It's a call to the steward of your eyes, your mind, and your heart. The problem in your marriage might be overwhelming. You may not have problem with each other, but there are influences from in-laws, influences from friends. In 2 Corinthians chapter 20, I want to pick up some scriptures. But read the chapter. You find out it's the story of Jehoshaphat. It said that some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, then Hazazon Tamar, which is Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. He feared. And set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. This way, a great army was coming, but he feared. But the first thing he did was not to panic, was not to do any other thing, was not to ask for help from others. He set himself to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast. Listen to me. When you have problems, do you know that most times believers are practical atheists? They don't call themselves atheists, but they are practical atheists. It's when you have financial problems, I will know whether you believe in God. It may shock you that many of us, sometimes, even including myself, when we have financial problems, the last thing to do is to pray. The next thing to do, we pick our phone. We have five people we call. Or the next thing we do, say, no, not do. In 3 months with my salary, I can do it. So you are seeking help by yourself, and it's self-help, and you are an atheist. Because an atheist does not call upon God. Even if he has a problem, he doesn't call God. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. In verse 14, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the son of Asaph, in the midst of the assembly, the son of Asaph. These are worshippers. That's why I tell you, the problem, the solution to Nigeria will be bettered out of the worship music movement. And he said, listen, all you Judah and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem? Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and bowed before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Then the Levites of the children of Kohathites and the children of Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went on in the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. Believe his prophets, you shall prosper. When there is financial crisis, you don't need a financial manager, you need a prophet. And we need prophets of hope now to prophesy over our nation, over your situation. And you know what? You are the prophet of your life. We need to start stewarding our eyes. There are some things I don't watch anymore. Most times now, I don't watch the news so much. Once in a while. I'm not saying don't watch, if you can steward by watching. For me, it gets to me. So I must be able to steward my heart. I must be able to know what God is saying per time. So that when it comes to me, I know how to block it. Number six, you are successful when you are powerful. You know, most times people, when I say you are powerful, and maybe today I should define what I mean by powerful. You are powerful when you have choices. It's religion that will say there's no choice. Kingdom actually celebrate choices. And you know what? God will not even violate your choice if it's the choice is against you. If the choice will not lead you to your destiny. Because he knows that he has given man the earth and free will. But even if you make mistake, there's redemption if you know your way back to him. The Bible says in John chapter 21 verse 15, when they are eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this?" Others do with reasoning, intentional spiritual devotion. As one loves the Lord, the Father, he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you, that I have deep instinctive personal affection for you. As for a close friend," he said to him, "feed my lambs." Many of us have a mental accent of the love of God. It has not really grabbed our heart. John, the beloved, said, writing in the book of John, 6 times, he said, the disciple whom Jesus loved. And that's why John had choice to either run or be at the foot of the cross. And John was the only disciple. Because he encountered the love of God, the only disciple that was at the feet of Jesus. John is the only disciple that died a natural death. They tried to kill him. Because you know what? You can't kill love. You have choices. That's why some people will ask me, "Pastor, why do you not? Why, you would have told me now." I said, "But I told you." He said, "No, there's a way. How will I say it? I would have shouted." Even in the sin of man, God was honoring. He said, "Adam, where are you?" We need to move in honor. And in moving in honor, that means that you have choices. Number 7. You're successful when you're obedient to what God is saying, has said, and is doing. You told me that God told you to marry this woman. Now, this woman is not behaving accordingly. As you wish her to behave, not as God wish her to behave. In John 4:34, Jesus said unto them, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to accomplish his work." There is a book, Psalm 139, David said, "All the days of my life was written in your book before one day appeared." Can I say something to you? There is a script for your life. The thing you should ask yourself, am I acting it? It is programmed into your heart. There are some things God has written in your heart that is not in your head, but it's there. The Bible says cancer in the heart of a man is like deep water. A man of understanding will bring it out. Saul was king. It was in his heart. But when Samuel, in 1 Samuel chapter 9 and 1 Samuel chapter 10, when Samuel was prophesying to Saul and said, "Saul, is it not you that all the nation has been waiting for?" And Saul, what was written in his heart was buried in low self-esteem. And from the least tribe, Benjamin. My clan is the least in Benjamin. My family is the least. Even when they went to fetch him, he was hiding among the luggages and everything. Why? But inside him, from very beginning, he was programmed to be king. There are many of us here. You are programmed to be king by his voice. Jesus said, "My meat is to do his will. Not my will, O Lord, but let your will be done. Not my will, O Lord, but let your will be done. I wish that this cup would pass me by, but not my will." I remember when I was going to resign back and go back and leave lecturing and go back to the bank. The only thing that kept me was because I had a dream. And the question is that after I had the dream, did my story change? No. I've seen other people who live for their dream, for what God has said. It wasn't easy. Listen, every one of us must have our history with God. No doubt you will have impartation, but you must have a history with God. Your history, your personal conviction, what He has said to you, are you doing it? Because of your pain, you can abandon it. Number 8, you're successful when you are thankful for what you are and what you have. Have you accepted yourself and thankful for who you are? There's no ugly person on the face of the earth. You say, Pastor, you don't know some ugly. Nobody can be ugly because my Bible did not say so. Everything that God did was good. The only thing you will tell me is that you don't appreciate such beauty. A lady told me, say, the brother looked at her and said, you are too slim. I can't marry somebody like you. And there are some people saying, you are too fat. I can't marry somebody like you. I want you to give yourself a hug. You can't love me if you don't love yourself. In John chapter 11, verse 41 to 42, it said they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you because you have heard me. This is a man in his identity. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. How many of us actually believe that our prayers are powerful? You hear me? In Matthew 14:19, then he ordered the crowd to recline on the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and blessed and broke the loaves and handed the pieces to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. You are looking for 2 million and somebody gives you 2,000 naira. What do you do? Say this small... Are you thankful for who you are and what you have? You just bought a car and somebody bought a higher version. You are not sad. You are not sad. And you are not striving to be among the Joneses. Can I say something to you? The day you be in their league, they will refinance. You can't keep up with the Joneses. Number 9, you're successful when you're fulfilling your calling. You're successful when you're fulfilling your calling. Are you called to be a nursery school teacher? Are you called, permit me to use this word, housewife? Are you called? There are people genuinely called to be a stay-at-home mothers. Anyhow you call them. Today, even many people and even embassies now recognize the occupation called homemakers. Why? God is calling you. Raise me up, the next Pastor K. Raise me up, the next Billy Graham. Raise me up, the next Archbishop B.A. Dawson. stay at home and give stability. You know what? I'm going to bless your husband to the extent that the income that will come to him can take care of two families. But if you are not accepting it, there's this shame you feel. My mate, listen. It was somebody who is not a Christian that told me that nobody is your classmate. You are in the same class. You are not classmate. Listen, it's your calling defines your identity. The anointing upon you defines your purpose, and your gift defines the ability that God gives to you to perform your calling. Paul, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes. You are a housewife. You may not give your husband 4 million, 2 million, or even 1,000 naira, but you save your husband 4 million in future. In rehabilitation of a drug addict's child. I don't know why it's so quiet today. Oh, yeah, laugh. Hug yourself, say, I'm successful. We need to define success to our children. You're successful when you commit, persevere, and finish well what you started. I want to see to the end what this our kingdom culture will deliver. No changing. Maybe in the next thing I will actually blow up. And I have my phone. Maybe I can show it before the service is over. It's in at the back. I was in a school of honor and empowerment, and a 7-year-old child drew a picture. Drew a painting. And he talked about the painting, and he said, I will know who this painting is for. And he came and gave it to me. 2014, I can't forget. He said, you are like a purple lake. God loves you like that. Don't change. If only we can stay true to our calling. And don't change. And don't allow people to make you change because of shame they want to put in your life. They want to tell you how to run your life. They want to tell you that they are better than you. Why? And most times, we actually do that. He said, you are, I can't forget, he wrote in the painting, he said, you are different. Like the purple lake, God likes you. That God likes that about you. Don't change. Do we stay true to our prophetic words? What God has said concerning you? You're successful when you commit. You have committed to, this is what God said I should do. And listen to me, there is no job that does not have its bad part. No calling. One of the things I don't like as a pastor is burial ceremony. Somebody that I will not go and deliver to the parents. I don't like it. Tissue ministry, inner healing. I run. The pain of the people start tugging my heart. But you must persevere. And you must finish well. Paul writing to his son Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 to 8. He said, this is the only race worth running. I have run hard right to the finish. Believed all the way. All that is left now is the shouting, God's applause. Depend on it. He's an honest judge. He will do right, not only by me, but by everyone eager for his coming. I have run the race. I have finished the course. Are you called to be a secondary school teacher, a primary school teacher? Today, two secondary schools are at war, and teachers cannot do anything. It shocks you that our teams are there trying to mentor the next generation, and they are not paid. Parents, hear me, because most parents are of their children. I face that a lot. Some parents have insulted me. But when the breakthrough came, they didn't call back. You know your child is an intercessor, but because you don't have money, you are telling the child to go and do something. Many of us are not stuck in who we are. You're going to face trials, whether as a banker, whether as a business person, whether as a politician, whether you have this thing, the trials will come. But if the trials come, will God still meet you there? When the trials of no money, I can't forget. I was earning a 7-digit salary. And one time, my wife and Ebere were going through my stuff. After I said, God called me, they brought a letter of a quit notice that I could not pay my rent. Rise up on your feet. Many of you are going through this stuff today. And it seems as if you're about to give up. You're going through this stuff today. You're about to give up. And I had a word for people. God is saying, reconnect back to my heart. This morning I was praying and God, I heard his voice said, I miss you. And I told him, I miss you too. Our problem can make us to leave the altar, to leave our place of consecration. I'm calling people today. I was about to give up. In fact, I've already given up. I told Febi Dawosa then, who was the president of my school, I said, I'm tired. I'm broke. I can't feed my family. Sorry, but I'm going back. But God is very creative. He can restore you. And I get the ministry servants, the team. If you are going through some things and it seems as if you are about to give up, what I tell myself these days is that I want to be a good father, a good parent. Say, train up a child the way he should go. In the way God has packaged the child. And I ask myself, Father, do I do this? Even for those that I lead. And those that are in this movement. Will I be true and still tell them, this is what I feel, even when I see them in pain? I met a Nigerian man in the U.S. going to Better School of Supernatural Ministry. My wife met him. He said, I heard God in UK to come into this school. Every year of the school is $6,000. And when you are a student in that school, your visa does not allow you to work in the US. So you come by faith. And the third day I met him, he was down. He said, how can I? Next, the last time I met him, he said, my papers, my visa, everything. And we just prayed. Asking himself, have I made a mistake? I remember asking myself those questions those days. Did I really make a mistake? And even sometimes, I was telling my wife recently when we were coming back, traveling back, I said, this is how I feel sometimes. But every step of the way, I hear God telling me, you're doing well. You must constantly hear that voice. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. If you want to reconnect back to your purpose, to the heart of Father God, please, we are here. Let's just pray for you. You're about to give up. But your heart says yes, but your head is saying no. Your heart says yes. Your head is saying. Your heart is saying yes, but the people around you say no. If you are such a person, lift up your hands. Let's just worship him and bless him. Many of us need to. God is missing you. He's missing you. He said, I have been missing you. I've been waiting for your voice. I've been waiting for you. I want to deliver things to you. I want to deliver things to you.
Thank you for listening to this message. For other life transforming messages, please call 0805-1028-787 or 0706-969-6499 or visit our website at www.femfoundationng.org.